Hi, it's Jen with Crystal Clear with Jen. Thanks for listening to my podcast on Anchor FM. So I wanted to talk today about being rejected or feeling as though you are being rejected. Because unless someone outwardly rejects you and says, hey, I am rejecting you, or they do something very, very blatantly and obvious, you are not necessarily going to feel rejected until their actions project that emotion onto you. And more often than not, we feel the emotion before we even recognize why we're feeling it. So I like to say and believe, just from personal experience and because I can see this as it unwinds, that every time you're being rejected, you're truly not being rejected. You're just being redirected to where you should have been to begin with. You have to, this goes in line with what I say a lot, and if you are a loyal listener or a loyal follower of mine, you'll know that I say this very often, and that is you have to follow what is flowing. The minute you pick up a vibration that really isn't for you, but you have this, maybe your ego stepped in and forced you to go this way or this direction, what happens is you tend to get lost on a path that wasn't meant for you. And then bam, the door closes. And you're like, oh, why? Why would this happen? I'm so rejected. I'm so isolated. Ah, because it wasn't meant for you. But you forced it by allowing your ego to direct your path. When we listen to our ego and let our ego direct our path, instead of listening to our heart and following what our soul wants us to do, we get lost. And that's when rejection comes in. That's when doors start closing. That's when we start recognizing, oh, this isn't for me. So when you feel really crappy because someone mistreated you, or maybe they just, maybe they didn't mistreat you, they just never treated you appropriately to begin with, and you're feeling like so empty because damn, you gave them a lot more than they gave you. Well, then that creates imbalance, and with imbalance, you get rejection, isolation, invalidation. And those are the key things that when we are emotionally unrested, we get into this vibe of like an island. I'm an island. I was rejected. I'm all alone. They didn't want me. I feel invalidated. I gave them all this. I got nothing in return. So that's a podcast for a different day, but the best relationships are a give and take. You give a little, they give some back. You take a little, they take some back. Like, it can't always be one-sided. When it is one-sided, you get the imbalance. The imbalance creates the emotional unrest. And then what do you get? Rejection, isolation, devastation, emotional unrest, sadness, despair. I don't fit in. This doesn't work. And then the last and final thing is, what is wrong with me? Well, honey, there is nothing wrong with you. You are just as perfect as you've always been. You're making yourself feel like this. And rejection isn't necessarily, unless the other person's actions are so blatant, it's not always something that is like so obvious. It takes a while to build up to that. So I need to ask you this question, and that is, if you're feeling rejected, if you're feeling isolated, if you're feeling like you gave and no one gave back, why did you keep giving to them? Don't get lost in your current emotions in a long-term thinking what is a long-term problem, or no, I'm sorry, not a problem, thinking what is a long-term relationship, when in reality, the short-term, the other person wasn't investing anything. You were doing all the investing. You were planting the seeds. And what were they doing? They were taking. So you're the one who received the imbalance. Chances are this person is a serial taker. They like to take from everybody. Or chances are this might be an old relationship, and that is just the pattern that you've allowed to occur. So If you are feeling rejected, isolated, not poured into, I have to tell you the hard truth, and that it begins with you. Perhaps you really don't love yourself enough, and that is creating the feeling of rejection. You're rejecting yourself in some way. Because if you truly, truly had that self-love, that level of personal self-love, you would not let anyone shake your confidence to ever feel rejected. You would immediately recognize the energy and balance in that relationship, and you would no longer deposit your energy with that person. Why? Because you recognize the energy of that person's pattern, which isn't a good one. Some people merely try to include other people because it makes them look good. And they're really not doing it because they like you or they want to be with you. Recognize that. It's not about rejection. It's about going inward and going, why do I feel rejected? Because we don't walk around going, like walking through a crowd and going, I reject you and I reject you. No, rejection takes a while to build. And once it's built, it's like a smack in the face. And I ask you, when you feel like that, I ask you to really seriously look at why you're feeling that way. What else has occurred to build up to that? Because I really believe, in my hardest of hearts, that it is merely a reflection of your self-love. And that is a hard thing for people to look at. So when you want to be with someone and it doesn't work out, or you're doing all these things to force to be with a group of people, or with, you know, say family members, friends, whatever it may be, and it's just not working out, the circumstances are not working, I really seriously ask you to stop and pause and say, in the midst of frustration, like, I'm just trying to be with these people. Why isn't this working out? Because it's not easy and they're not your people. And that is something really hard for people to understand. But I've always been with them, but we're so close, but we did this. Right, but it's not for you anymore. Like, it's hard to recognize when a new cycle begins and when a new cycle ends. Because they overlap. And there's not like a marker. We don't reach the end like, okay, you just passed the home plate. No, it doesn't work like that. It's hard to distinguish the beginning and the end of cycles. And when we get to the beginning and end of cycles, we're in this quasi place where we haven't let go of the past, but yet we haven't really stepped into the new, and we feel weird. And when you're trying to go with something that is no longer flowing, that doesn't work, you're going to always get a no. You're going to get static. You're going to have problems happen. I had this friend once, she insisted that she was going to move to this city. I'm not going to mention the city or the friend. I'm just going to use it as a hypothetical, okay? She demanded that this is where she needed to live. Why, I said. She was like, because I just always wanted to live there. It's so cool. Well, what about your great paying job that you have a company car for? But this is what I'm supposed to be doing. This is where I'm supposed to be living. Okay, I get that. I honor in her that she recognizes that she needs change in her life. The problem was, she took a job that was less than what she wanted. And it only came after she continually called this HR department. And they told her week after week after week, we don't have a position. We don't have a position. We still don't have a position. We filled the position that you interviewed for. So you would have thought she would have gotten the hint that this wasn't a right fit for her. So after maybe the fifth or sixth time calling, at which time I'm rolling my eyes thinking she's never going to give up on this. She calls and they said, look, you know, we know you've been calling and you seem like you're really, you're really eager to work. We don't have that position, but we can give you another one and it pays about $20,000 a year less. She took it. with no company car, without the other benefits that she had been living with. Why? Because she believed she needed to be living in that city. So she had to turn her company car in. She had to rent a car just to go back there for a week to go to training. When she came back home in the rental car, she had someone hit her. It wasn't a major crash, but it was enough where it was a headache with the rental car company. A couple days later, she rents a U-Haul to drive the 3-hour drive to the new city, to the new job. And here's the kicker. She could not find an apartment or anywhere to live, so therefore had to move all of her items into storage and was going to live in a hotel at one of these long-term hotels until she could find an apartment. This was going to drain a significant amount of her money, but she saw that this was the means to the end. I immediately saw these things as red flags. She wasn't having any of it. She didn't want to hear it. So she rented the U-Haul, packed up all of her stuff, and halfway in the middle of nowhere on the 3-hour drive, she got a flat tire. It was raining. She pulled over. She got out of the car to look she got out of the truck to look at the car to see where the tire was flat and is there a way she could fix it. Picks up her phone to call the tow truck. The tow truck said it would be a 3-hour wait. It was just unbelievable inconvenience. Once they finally arrived and they got her a spare tire, she drove to the city where she was moving, had to unpack the entire truck and put it into a new truck, then drive 15 minutes away to go to the storage unit to unpack everything yet again. She was all by herself, a single woman. She turned the truck in and then recognized she never really had a plan of how she was going to get to her temporary living at the hotel with some of her belongings that she needed, you know, to live with, clothes and personal effects, whatnot. So she ends up hiring a taxi to drive her. Couldn't believe the added expense because she had to make 3 trips to get her personal effects over there. I see all of this as roadblock, roadblock, roadblock. Every single thing that went wrong that led her to living in that hotel was a roadblock. She saw that as, oh, it's just part of the journey. I mean, yeah, what a great outlook to have on it, right? So she starts the job. They know she's living in a temporary hotel. The employer is fully aware that she could not find an apartment. She's working there for about 45 days, still couldn't find an apartment. Now is starting to complain about the cost of the temporary hotel, and they let her go. So now she's moved 3 hours away, living in a hotel, draining her savings account, and all of her personal effects are in a storage unit, and she has no vehicle. This was not an easy thing. Some of you would say, oh no, but she followed her heart. Yes, her heart was in the city, but it just wasn't the right time. When you force things to happen that aren't supposed to happen, you get static. When you get static and you don't listen to static, you get roadblocks. Roadblocks are those obvious things that smack you right in your face, that pop up on your trail, pop up on your path, that should be a very clear indicator that you're not doing the right thing. If you're experiencing a lot of static in something, that is a clear indicator you're not on the right path. If you are experiencing roadblock after roadblock after roadblock, you are definitely not on the right path. How do you know? Journal about it. Ask your soul, what are you supposed to be doing? I hope you found this helpful. And if you want to know how you can tune out of feeling rejected and tune in more to the good emotions to keep you on a level emotional playing field, you should come find me at my Facebook group, The Light Seekers Tribe. We talk about this and all kinds of other things on a daily basis. You can also email me at crystalclearwithjen@gmail.com. I thank you to all my loyal supporters and to all the new people. Please stay tuned for my next podcast. I hope you have a great day.